You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Okay, welcome to the show. It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Along with Hembo, Evan Cohen in for Greeny today. Normally you hear me on Sportsmanlike with Chris Canty and Michelle Smallman, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern here on ESPN Radio. What a day we have. You'd think about this past weekend, Hembo. You're looking at the NCAA tournament selection shows in both men's and women's that were amazing in terms of all the storylines we have there, as well as, oh, by the way, maybe the best NFL offseason weekend we've had. Hello, how are you?
This is an NFL offseason that keeps on giving. From the moment that legal tampering began till right this second, it seems like every time I look down on my phone, there's something new and there is something incredible. The musical chairs that is being played right now, especially at the quarterback position, which is so incredibly rare for the NFL offseason, is obviously super entertaining. Oh, by the way, the best event of the whole year starts on Thursday. I got my bracket in front of me. It's filled out, and I cannot wait to talk about it.
Of course, you and I have to bicker about something 2 minutes in. The best event of the whole year?
Oh, come on.
I grew up, the NCAA tournament, that Thursday was the best event of the year. Sports have become so unbelievable in terms of event-based days that while that is still an A+, we're talking about A+ versus A++, if there's such a thing. We're not talking about an A- or an A. We are literally saying that when you guys fill out the tournament brackets, and you can do so with the ESPN Tournament Challenge app, up to 25 on the men's and women's side, create the groups, be a part of it, men's and women's. You can play against us. I see Chris Carlin already talking junk to me, which is great. Why are you rolling your eyes?
Well, because that's what he does.
Oh, okay. The app also makes it easy to share your champion and as well as your Final Four picks across all social channels. So download the Tournament Challenge app. That all said, you're taking Thursday over the NFL draft day?
I'm taking the opening Thursday of March Madness over the NFL draft, because the NFL draft, while as entertaining as it is, to me, it's more about the hype machine, the weeks and months leading up to the draft. The draft itself often leaves a little bit to be desired for me. I've never gone to bed on a Thursday night after watching basketball for 12 hours and not feel like I've eaten my full. Is that fair? Is that unfair?
Eaten my full.
Eaten my fill.
You can't just say it like a normal person and say, like, I'm full, I'm filled up, I'm eating my fill, is what you just said.
I prefer 19th, 18th, 17th century vernacular. Like, in Green and I did our, in book number two, one of the lists that I'm looking at is...
Book number two.
I'm just going to say it like it is. I mean, we have a list. Top 10 days on the annual sporting calendar. Both the opening Thursday of March Madness and the NFL draft are inside the top five. I'm sure it's not at all a surprise for you to hear me say that. Where does the Super Bowl fall for you in best days of the on the sporting calendar?
I mean, it's certainly up there.
Better than the draft?
I mean, as a Pats fan for a long time, yes. Not current. I love the transactional stuff. Right, like there's an back in the day, I used to love Selection Sunday as much as I love the Thursday of the NCAA tournaments. Because when you had less teams and men's college basketball was more of a national sport than it has been, honestly, over the last however many years. I mean, if we're going to be real about it, right now is when we get into men's college basketball on the whole. Not everyone, but I mean, masses, right? Women's college basketball has done a much better job of keeping us engaged all season long, from Caitlin Clark to Angel Reese to Juju Watkins to South Carolina's undefeated season. Like, it's done a better job recently, and that's where the stars are. But back in my day, when we were talking about the stars in college basketball before guys were leaving early, and I'm not blaming them for doing so.
Lou Alcindor and those.
I'm not
Bill
that
Walton.
Old. Jeez. Wow.
Jerry Lucas. John Havlicek.
You know, I remember Mike in college. Be fair. But it was just a lot different than it is now, because when you expand it and there's 68 teams and you don't know which team is in what conference anymore, it's different.
But I understand the point you're making. I guess my question, though, is if we're to eliminate every other day of the year, and you're not talking about the hype, you're not talking about the seasons, anything else, you would rather watch the NFL draft. You would rather watch the NFL draft than watch basketball the opening Thursday of the tournament.
Yeah, and basketball as a sport is my favorite sport.
Huh. So you're saying that the tournament...
I think most people would actually agree with me.
Okay, so the tournament for you has not been diminished as much as other things like the NFL draft has become amplified over the years.
Ironically, I think the NFL draft actually has been diminished and it's still number one because I used to go as a kid and there's video of me somewhere when Tyrone Wheatley was drafted by the Giants and I was like 12 or 13 years old on camera on ESPN giving a fist bump to that. it's no joke. It's somewhere on the internet. But
it's in black and white probably.
When it was the Saturday... Starting at 10 in the morning or whatever it was till 10 at night, all three rounds on that Saturday, that was the best.
So you were into the draft before it was cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
when,
for sure.
So you've obviously been doing this for a really long time. Really long time. When did the draft become mainstream in your eyes? Like, when did it become
I don't remember the exact year. When they decided to make it into a Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Because that's the amazing thing. I think you're right. You could go into a sports bar right now, and the average person could tell you the third best offensive lineman that's draft eligible before they could name a player on NC State.
Yep. By the way, I should also show you something. I'm showing Hembo something. I want you to describe it to our radio audience here. Go ahead.
Okay, so what I'm looking at is...
this is as it goes, I do this.
The carcass of a 110-year-old man leafing through a legal pad in which he has written out the NCAA tournament bracket by region with a pen, and he's done so vertically, instead of just asking someone that he works with to print him a copy. And so that's what I'm looking at right now.
I do that too.
Okay, so what's the purpose of you writing them down?
Because I always write it as it goes.
What do you mean as it goes?
Like meaning you're watching on the broadcast and I draw the brackets physically with no teams in them on four different pages prior to the arrival of the teams and then I fill in the teams.
Just looking at that makes me cringe.
That's how I feel about
everything
you.
Everything about that.
Everything about this.
That's how my wife feels as well. She All has right. a very bad taste in men.
All right. So, yes, the brackets are obviously out, but we talk about the NFL and what happened this weekend. And the Pittsburgh Steelers go from a quarterback room that had Mason Rudolph, Mitchell Trubisky, and their starter Kenny Pickett to basically, within a week, they lowered the cost of the position and increase the talent within the position by bringing in Russell Wilson for $1.2 million and trading a sixth-round pick for Justin Fields. I love this. It does not mean it's going to work out perfectly this year. It doesn't even mean it's going to work out perfectly next year. What it does is it gives you insane amounts of flexibility to try to improve this position while guaranteeing neither of these guys anything. If Russell Wilson doesn't work out, you can cut him. If Justin Fields doesn't work out, you don't have to pick up his fifth-year option. Although, if it were me, I would offer him a contract today. I'd decline his fifth-year option and offer him the Jordan Love deal that the Packers gave him and give him somewhere between $10 and $12 million for next year. Thinking I either have a really cheap starter or an at-average value backup or a starter for someone else if Russell Wilson or a draft pick goes well, that they would be interested in him. In addition, it doesn't preclude me from drafting a quarterback this year because both guys get it, unlike their previous guy in Kenny Pickett. This gives them a better chance of winning now, a lower cost, and a higher upside long-term any way you look at it, except for the way that one Hembo looks at it.
I need you to explain to me how it gives them a better chance to win now. Because
they won 10 games last year with no quarterbacks, and now they have a guy in Russell Wilson that was better than their quarterback a year ago, and I project to be better than their quarterback this year. That would have been Kenny Pickett.
No, I mean, what the Steelers did was turn in one quarterback that nobody wanted for two quarterbacks that nobody wanted.
No, one quarterback. You have to stop with that with Russell Wilson. Just because you didn't want him doesn't mean that nobody wanted him. He had three different visits or set up three different visits, and we know the teams wanted him. Like, that was blatantly obvious. You could shake your head
teams,
at that.
Teams were interested.
You don't like him. You don't think he's going to, not personally, I'm saying you don't like him as a starting quarterback this year for any team. And thus you have made up because you don't think he's good that no teams wanted him, yet there's evidence of the Giants and the Raiders wanting him.
Let me meet you halfway. I think that the Steelers paying Russell Wilson and Justin Fields a combined $4.4 million is the definition of good business. That's less than what they're paying their kicker, Chris Boswell, next year. So I can't argue with you economically. I do think, though, there's been a natural reflex to say something to the effect of, and I've heard this all over the place, oh, this is the Steelers' genius showing itself. Let's calm down, okay? Let's calm down. So Kenny Pickett, they drafted in the first round 2 years ago and punted on him and got almost nothing, nothing for a player who 2 years ago was worthy of a first round pick. Mm-hmm. They ruined that guy. Now you're telling me that Russell Wilson, a cast off now from two organizations in 2 years, and Justin Fields, who Ryan Poles couldn't give away, are going to somehow turn this team into something. When I just see, right now, I see the Browns having made the playoffs with five different starting quarterbacks, the Ravens with Lamar Jackson coming off his second MVP, and by the way, the Bengals have the best quarterback in the division when healthy in Joe Burrow. So it is not obvious to me that the Steelers have made themselves any better. They definitely, you know, won the transactions, for lack of a better term. But if I'm just going to look at it and go down the schedule when we get it, I'm not sure the Steelers are going to win one more game than they did last year because of the quarterback.
Are you suggesting because a team failed with a first-round quarterback, they can't succeed with someone else?
Most definitely not. What I'm saying is, for as nice a job as they did to buy low on those two quarterbacks, is just as bad a job as they did as selling low on Kenny Pickett.
I mean, kind of like the 49ers.
They got nothing.
Kind of like the 49ers.
When it comes to Trey Lance?
Well, they did it by your logic. Mm-hmm. They did a horrible job by getting Trey Lance and developing him and sold really low on a guy they gave up three first-rounders for. They gave up for a fourth-round pick. And instead, they found someone at insanely low value. Like, some have heard of these quarterback rules that I've put out there. I know Greeny really embraces them.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Well, what the Steelers have the opportunity to have now is a quarterback that outperforms his contract times two. So yet another great example of this. I'm just saying, Hembo. But in this specific case, I am not saying that Brock Purdy and Russell Wilson are equal. I'm saying situationally they come in as the quote-unquote savior for a failed first-round pick.
That's a well-made point, and I can't dispute it. What I will say is that when the Steelers do something, we assume it's smart because they're the Steelers. Because
yes,
we have a preconception of believing that Mike Tomlin knows what he's doing and is playing chess. I would say this. I thought the exact same thing with how the Patriots built the off-ramp for Tom Brady, and it failed miserably. Miserably. To go from Cam Newton, who was average that year, to Mac Jones, who was average, then below average, then just dreadful. That's what I thought of the Patriots. Like, we can compare what the Steelers are doing right now to what the 49ers did. I think there are probably more parallels, because in the end, I'm just not so sure that Russell Wilson or Justin Fields can play. And within the context of their division, I don't think they're 1% better than they were a year ago. Not 1%.
Not 1% better.
The one thing that I will give them is that this gives them the opportunity to spend money elsewhere. Bringing in Patrick Queen is going to help the defense, and that should be a top five unit, at least a top 10 unit. They also really need to go get a wide receiver too, because after giving away Deontay Johnson, again, for nothing, another bad transaction, they desperately need to help their quarterbacks. The only way they can succeed offensively is if they major in the run game and add, if not one, maybe even two more weapons for Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, because at this juncture in their careers, we can absolutely not assume high-level play.
Can I assume that you're a huge fan of Sixers executive Daryl Morey?
I do like Daryl Morey.
Okay.
Love Daryl Morey.
The only reason I ask that question is because you look at the removal of Deontay Johnson as they didn't get enough in return. Instead of the human element that goes into this stuff in the locker room, teamwork, effort, etc., there was a lot of bad stuff around Deontay Johnson from a football perspective, mm-hmm, the blocking, etc. Daryl Morey prides himself on not worrying about that stuff. Mm-hmm. Just like, am I getting value, and is a person going to exceed the value?
Right.
So I just wanted to confirm my hunch on that.
So my
because you're just ignoring that part.
And you're
of
ignoring the fact that Russell Wilson is radioactive. Radioactive.
How is he? So why would T.J. Watt call and recruit him? Why would Cam Hayward call and recruit him? Those are the leaders of the team. Why would Mike Tomlin, who has proven to be unbelievable in establishing a culture and removing those that detract from it, or I don't want to say covering up, limiting the distractions. Like, you are just completely dismissing everything Mike Tomlin right now.
Well, I think that the national media love Mike Tomlin. And that's because Mike Tomlin has famously not had a losing season. Mike Tomlin also has not experienced any high-level winning for 7 or 8 years. He has gotten bad teams to average and has gotten good teams to average. Mike Tomlin, if he had gone 7-9 one time, wouldn't have this streak. And Mike Tomlin locally is not viewed the same way as most of the national media.
Yeah, be careful what you wish
Mike
for.
Tomlin.
Be careful what you wish for in some cases. So if I told you that Russell Wilson could be a top 20 quarterback this year, would you believe it?
I think that Russell Wilson's ceiling is that of a league average starter. So I would believe it, but
that's
on the fringe.
That's even better.
I'm on the fringe.
Okay, but if you're saying, so let's call him 17. slightly below league average, mm-hmm. right? Is that correct, based on the math?
Mm-hmm.
If he's the 17th best quarterback this year, they are definitively 1% better than they were last year. Because you're only asking for 1%. You didn't even – like, you could have gone way deeper than you did. You suggested, I don't think they're going to be 1% better. Like, the real thing is, are they a conference championship team? You didn't go there. So if you're telling me that you have the 17th best quarterback, mm-hmm. no money spent at that position – with someone that probably also could be the 17th best quarterback if he hits in Justin Fields, and a top five defense, in what world are they not 1% better?
In the world of their division, because that's the world they're living in. You know, we do this thing in the offseason where we look at all the additions that a team might make and then forget about the fact that all 31 other teams are also trying to get better. The Bengals are getting back an all-pro quarterback, by the way. The Browns just had a better season than the Steelers, and they did so with out any good quarterback play because they got a better coach, to be honest with you. And the Ravens are going to be better than the Steelers in perpetuity because of their situation. So look, from an asset management standpoint, the Steelers nailed this. But right now, if you set the over-under at 9.5 wins for them next season, I would pound the under. I would pound that under.
Just at 9, though.
Pound it. They're going to go 8-8-1 or 9-8 or something like
you
that.
Really, like, it would really help your argument if they went 8-8-1.
If they
tie
a game.
Dream scenario.
If they tie a game, it would
for
help.
Hembo's dream scenario is for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He doesn't actually have a dog in the fight. He's an Eagles fan. But literally looks at it and says 8-8-1 would just be the perfect ending to the narrative that you have right
it
now.
It sure would.
Greeny is presented by Progressive Insurance. See why over 28 million drivers trust Progressive to stay protected on the road. See for yourself at progressive.com. Coming up. Do not fill out a single bracket until you hear what Hembo has to say next. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
Greeny, the podcast.
ESPN Bet is now live as the official sportsbook of ESPN. ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows, sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Find all of your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all of the props that you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The list is what determines who matters in this business.
The Green List.
All right, along with Hembo, Evan Cohen in for Greeny today. NCAA tournament brackets, men's and women's side, are out. Hembo, we have a green list.
We have a green list.
Of the top 10 men's NCAA tournament bracket guidelines.
Here's what I've done. For ESPN.com, I've put this together. I have scoured 45 years of NCAA tournament data. What I have done is provided you the blueprint to maximize your chances of success. In doing so, created 10 rules with which to abide. I'll give you my own two cents in terms of which teams check the boxes here. But by and large, if you follow these rules, you are going to give yourself a better chance than anyone else in your group to win the tournament.
Not trying to ruin this bit for you here, or this green list, but just a quick question.
Please.
Have you ever won an NCAA tournament pool?
I've not.
Okay, good. All right, let's get the rules then. Rule number one, advance one first four team to the round of 32.
Yes, the first four began in 2011, and with the exception of the 2019 tournament, at least one team that played in the first four advanced to the round of 32 or later in each year. So all but one year that happened. So the team I like here is Colorado. They play Boise State in the first four. That's in the upper right of your bracket. They would get Florida in the round of 64. I think Colorado has an outstanding offensive profile and is a team that is destined to the round of 32.
Next.
Number two.
Do not predict a 16-1 upset.
This goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. One seeds are 150-2. All times against the 16 seed, the average margin of victory for those one seeds is 25 points. Don't even bother thinking about it. You already know not to do this, but the numbers say don't do it.
Two things on this. Number one, okay? We've seen this recently with Virginia and Purdue, mm-hmm. right? I mean, like, it happened recently. Number two, I have always felt it is completely illogical and unfair for play-in teams to actually go up against the number one seed. Because as now, we've had number six teams beating the number one, giving the number one seed less time to prepare for one singular opponent, as crazy as it sounds, is actually a disadvantage that they do not deserve.
I agree with you. I think it makes zero sense. I'm fine if they want to do the first four thing, but I don't think that they should attach it to the 16 seeds. It doesn't make sense to me.
No, I don't think they should attach it to the one seed.
Well, that's what I mean.
Right, but it's important. The mm-hmm. opposition for a one seed. We should not penalize you. If you're so good, we should not say, well, you have to spend part of your day, part of your day preparing for Howard and the other part of your day preparing for Wagner. Why would North Carolina get a disadvantage in that spot? Because that actually is a disadvantage.
I agree.
You're surprised I had such a logical take.
Preaching to the choir.
I could see. All right, next.
Number three.
Predict. No, you're supposed to say this.
I did not Darn. Say it. You said
I only made it one-fifth of the way before messing up.
You literally said, why don't we do it this way? I said, fine. And then you did not let me get to number three.
Yes, this was my suggestion.
Correct.
What's number three?
I'm glad you asked. Predict at least 1-12 upset over a five.
Yes. Yeah, so since 1985, there have been 53 12 over five upsets for an average of 1.5 per year. Historically, it is more than twice as likely that there will be multiple such upsets. That's happened 16 times than none. That's only happened six times. My favorite 12 this year happens to be James Madison.
Oh, shush.
They play Wisconsin in the upper right of your bracket. What say you?
Well, I went to Wisconsin, so no, I'm out on that one, obviously. But I thought we had gone to the place now of 6-11 being more of the upset pick, or 11 over 6 than 12 over 5.
It vacillates over the course of time. For the purposes of this exercise, I wanted to use as many years of data as possible. 12-5 is still where you want to go.
I am strongly considering filling out my bracket in the ESPN Tournament Challenge that we're doing with ESPN Radio, which, again, Chris Carlin, Carlin vs. Joe, is already talking junk. I didn't even say anything about Carlin, but he's doing it. I'm considering filling out my bracket one of two ways, either exactly like you're saying, or just take the exact opposite. In other words, I'm going to take a 16 over a 1. I'm not going to predict any 12 over a 5, and I am not going to take anyone in the play-in to get to reach anything past the first round.
Evan, you're in luck because you can fill out 25 brackets.
Yeah, up
so
to 25.
So you could do all kinds of combinations, including following Hembo's guidelines and going in direct opposite of them.
You know, Cam, I said on Sportsman, like 6 out of 10 a.m. Eastern this morning, that I only fill out one normally and use it with other
brackets. I only do one.
Yeah, but you just tempted me to do another one here. I may do the anti-Hembo bracket.
There's you got to make an exception.
Yeah, I may have to make that exception to the rule. All right, next.
Number four.
Thank you, Hembo. I'm glad you pointed. Eliminate at least number two seed prior to the Sweet 16.
This surprised me. So number two seeds.
You did it. What do you mean it surprised
you?
The
data surprised me. Number two seeds advanced to the second weekend of the tournament at a considerably lower rate than one seeds do. All right, 63% of two seeds do that. 84% of one seeds do that. Since the seeding began in 1979, all four two seeds have reached the Sweet 16 only six out of 44 years. The number two seed that I think is most vulnerable is Iowa State. They are the two seed in the upper left of your bracket. I think Washington State, the seven in that region, is going to be very dangerous and will wind up knocking out the Cyclones.
All right, no problem with that. Next.
Number five.
Advance at least one double-digit seed to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, so since 1979, a double-digit seed, a team seeded 10th or lower, has advanced to the Sweet 16 in 40 of 44 years, including each of the last 15 years. My favorite such team this year is the 11th seeded New Mexico. They're in the bottom left. They're actually favored in the first round over Clemson. Baylor, I view as a fairly soft three. I like New Mexico, the 11th seed, to advance to the Sweet 16.
And that is Richard Pitino, correct?
It sure is.
So it's a coach that has been experienced all across his time in college basketball. Minnesota, obviously, was the biggest school, I believe, that he coached at. Next.
Number six.
Advance at least one team seeded five or lower to the Elite Eight.
Since 1979, at least one team seeded fifth or lower has advanced to the Elite Eight in 41 of 44 years. My favorite is six-seeded BYU in the upper left of your bracket. They are more reliant on the three ball than any team in the tournament. I think they are going to hit the high side of variance and advance to the Elite Eight as a six-seed.
Can you just please refrain from directional things with brackets? When you say the upper left of your bracket, not mine, when you have it on four pages.
Four sheets of paper.
Four sheets of handwritten paper.
Most of us have access to a printer.
All right, I'm just saying that is. I think you're very exclusive.
So you'd prefer I use the direction, like the east region.
Yeah, I do. I think the upper left.
On page three of your
it's in the middle of my first page of my bracket. I mean, how dare you?
Fair enough.
This is Hembo's Green List, 10 men's NCAA tournament bracket guidelines to follow here. Next.
Number seven.
This one surprised me.
Cam, I'm sorry, I'm supposed to go first.
Laugh when he said that.
Do not advance a double-digit seed to the final four.
Yeah, this is stunning. Okay, it happens just too infrequently to take a chance. Hear what the numbers say. Consider this. Since 1979, there have been 1,195 teams to play a tournament game seeded 10th or lower. Of those 1,195 teams, only six of them have reached the Final Four. Your odds of taking a 10 seed or lower to the Final Four are super low. Don't bother trying.
If I'm not mistaken, and I could be wrong, the first time this happened, I believe, was 1986 LSU as an 11 seed with John Hot Plate Williams. Am I correct on that?
I don't have it in front of me.
Well, you should have.
I'm more than happy to look that up.
I would. Thank you.
Sandwich bet?
If I'm right about that, you buy me a sandwich?
Yes.
Are you going to shame me for the sandwich I'm eating?
No, I'll allow you to choose a sandwich, and if I don't like it, I won't watch you eat it.
I will fist bump you because I'm not going to shake your hand.
I am a filthy man.
All right, look that up.
I will look that up after I finish my last two.
Next one.
Number eight.
Last
Advance
three.
Advance no more than two teams from the same conference to the Final Four.
Since 1979, only once has a conference sent three teams to the Final Four. That was the Big East.
Big East in 1985.
Attaboy!
Villanova, Georgetown, St. John's.
Very, very well done. That's your heyday. That is your heyday.
I was five. No, I was four.
I think there's a reflex of falling in love with conferences based on where you live or based on what you saw. Don't overdo it. Never, ever, ever put more than two teams from the same conference in the Final Four.
The Green List is brought to you by Sherwin-Williams. Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 35% on paints and stains now through March 25th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Next one.
Number nine.
Pick a one seed to win the national championship.
Yeah, don't overthink this one. Since 1979, there have been 44 national champions. 26 of the 44 national champions were one seed. It's 59%. Obviously, it is highly likely or at least possible that a team seeded two or lower winds up winning the national title. But what history says is that you are much better off choosing between the four number one seeds than you are going off the reservation. That's what I'm doing this year.
Next.
Number 10.
But don't pick UConn to do it?
Let me explain. UConn is not going to win the national championship this year. I might have to eat my words, but here's what the numbers say. So they won the national championship last year. And history is working against them. UCLA won seven straight from 67 to 73. But since 1973, we've only had two repeat title winners.
That would be Florida and Duke.
Yes, that's exactly right. Duke in 91 and 92 and Florida in 06
and
07. I'm
putting on a show today.
You are an absolute savant. I'm going to check the LSU thing and probably have to buy you a sandwich.
Wow. Can we count this as sneaky Hembo trivia, what's happening here?
I don't think so. I mean, this is a stunning development. You just sabotaged. You just owned my own segment. Like my green list, my annual green list, you just hijacked. Well done. Very, very well done.
UConn plus 400, by the way, the favorite per ESPN bet. Can I add a couple of things here? What's the opposite of a green list? Because these are all the things you should do. I want to give you a couple of things that the committee should not do.
The red list. I mean, that's not a stretch. I mean, if you're just like looking to do the opposite, bro.
That was one of the dumbest things I've ever said.
You were going
I said a lot of dumb things.
You were going for ingenuity. And what we got was idiocy.
Okay, so there's two things that work, in my opinion, against us ever having a logical bracket perfectly across the board, right? And that we're all kind of like Joe Lunardi got 67 of 68. What's the matter?
LSU is right.
11 seed in 1986?
Yeah.
And who was on their team?
You're an assassin. Who was on their team?
Yeah, because John Hot Plate was it Hot Rod or Hot Plate?
Hot Plate.
No, there's two different John Williams. Seriously. One was the taller one, John Hot Rod Williams. I feel like maybe
is the LSU one.
Yeah, so I got it right.
Coached by Dale Brown.
Yeah, and Hot Rod Williams was
played at Tulane.
Tulane, number 18 for the Cavs on the teams with Larry Nance,
that's
Brad
very
Doherty,
confusing.
Craig Elo, and Mark Price. Anyway, what are you rolling your eyes?
I'm just, this is a whole new version of you. I didn't expect to just be schooled.
What did I tell you about me growing up? My two favorite sports growing up, my whole life, college basketball, Major League Baseball.
And you retained everything.
Yeah, clearly. Anyway, so there's two issues I have with the NCAA tournament that I'd like you to weigh in on at some point here, and maybe now. Number one, we have to eliminate conference tournaments. You heard what I said. Here's why. If you're going to have the best possible teams in the NCAA tournament, we saw five teams get shut out of the tournament, regardless of who those five teams are, because the commissioner, the head of the NCAA tournament selection committee, said that we had five bids stolen. In addition, as part of that, we should eliminate conference tournaments for one-bid leagues. You had a game yesterday with Yale versus Brown, where Brown at 13-17 in the Ivy League almost beat Yale, which would eliminate Yale from the NCAA tournament, and they were the better team. And what we end up doing is we give teams that don't deserve the opportunity a chance to be there, or a chance to be there, that opportunity to be there. It is illogical. I understand why we do it, money and TV. I get it. I'm not going to take that away. It's fun. It's exciting, etc. But all that does is we're going to take 30 games and not weigh them as much as five games. That does not make sense in any way, shape, or form. The second thing, we need contracts for the people or person that run the selection committee, and they should be at least 5 years. So we have the exact same criteria every single year, and when you're scheduling out who to play in the NCAA tournament, you know why, when, where, and how you're scheduling, so criteria does not change on a year-to-year basis. Because many times, you will sit there and say, well, quad one victories aren't that good. Strength of schedule is not that good. Your road games, at a conference, in conference, et cetera, et cetera. And what we have is an illogical path to getting there, where if you just had the same person in charge for X amount of years, Hembo is in charge of the NCAA selection committee, you know that Hembo's criteria is A, B, and C, and that will not change for the next 5 years, because what happens is, if you're going to be Providence, as we've heard them complaining about the analytics here, you're now going to schedule teams that aren't as good out of conference, but that schedule will not take place until 2, 3, 4 years from now, and we'll have 3 or 4 different selection chairs by then, and that person's criteria is not going to be necessarily the same as this person's criteria.
Yeah, I like where your head's at. I think the most logical way to remedy this, and I do think it needs remedied, is to just expand the tournament.
No, it's not. That's not the most logical way of doing this.
The most logical way is to expand the tournament. I'm sympathetic to your argument. Well, we're never going to lose conference tournaments. I do not like the fact that we wind up having these bid thieves at the end because you had a good weekend. We shouldn't be rewarding good weekends. We should be rewarding good seasons. And the best way to do that is either to change the way that you know, put teams into the tournament, which I think you agree with me, they're not going to do because there is money to be made in the conference tournaments, or to expand it. And if you expand the tournament, then you wind up getting many more deserving teams, the St. John's, the Providences of the world. By really expanding the at-large pool, you don't lose the magic because you're still getting the small market teams, for lack of a better term, the non-major conference teams, the Cinderella types. That's where I think the money is to be made. A 128-team tournament is the right number. I think it also insulates the very best teams in the country because it nets them a bye. You know, I've been on this for weeks. I stand by it. We don't want a tournament without Rick Pitino in it. And if the tournament had 70 teams, 72 teams, he'd be in it. There are super good teams that are capable of making a run to the Sweet 16 that won't have the opportunity because the fourth best team in the Ivy League is getting in instead.
And I would like to hear from the conference commissioners. I'm sure there's somebody listening right now for a smaller conference that's a one-bid league that will tell me that it makes money for the league because it doesn't. I've been a part of this. Like, the thing is, I did play-by-play 100 years ago for Florida Atlantic University when they were part of the Atlantic Sun Conference. And I remember sitting there talking to people and them saying, we actually lose money if we don't win. Because what happens is they spend the money on getting there, the travel. They don't charter flights. And if you lose in the second round of the A-Sun tournament at the time, you don't have a return flight. It's extra cost. It's a one-bid league, and we're upsetting who should actually be in. It's so illogical, some of these things, that if the goal of the NCAA tournament is to have the best 68 teams and the most deserving, we don't always do that. Coming up, one team is actually hamstrung from improving their own from their own players. Like, they cannot get better because of their own players on their team. We'll explain who that is next. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greeny, the podcast.
Dak entering the final year of his deal, leading to some questions about his future with the team.
You are closer today to believing that a Dak Prescott trade is possible.
And with each passing day, I move closer to him being moved because it just doesn't make any sense not to extend him by now.
Greeny is presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career you'll love with flexibility, great pay and benefits, and one of the country's top workplaces? Come join their growing team. Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. Along with Hembo, Evan Cohen in for Greeny today, the day after the NCAA tournament brackets are released on the men's and women's side. Download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app. Be a part of it. You can do it up to 25 times. You can do one bracket with Hembo's green list rules, as well as one bracket without the red list. Go ahead. Do what you got
to
do.
I have nothing to say.
Well, you just said something without saying something.
Because nothing can be said.
Yeah, I asked what the opposite of like green light was.
I mean, I spent an enormous amount of time combing through the data. How much time did you spend for your ill-fated quarterback rules? Was that a years-long exercise?
You know, we're gonna get to a quarterback, but on Friday, I was driving home after Unsportsmanlike, and as I do, I was listening to Greeny here on ESPN Radio, and I heard one Mike Greenberg actually reference the quarterback rules to Dan Graziano to help his cause. So what say you on that one, Hembo?
Which of the rules was it?
The QB wide receiver. You don't pay a wide receivers to help a QB. You pay a QB to help a wide receiver.
I think in the end, Greeny wound up making fun of you merely because he was kind of jealous that he hadn't thought of them himself.
Oh, really?
It was one of those moves. Like, he's a person.
I never got that feeling, I gotta be honest with you.
Look, Greeny wields enormous power and influence, and he thought to himself, well, I didn't think of it. Might as well make fun of it. Because okay. Everything was very logical.
It's not well written.
He just thought it was poorly written, and some of them didn't really need to be said.
Mm. Okay. Well, I'll take that as a win.
As a compliment?
I don't know. All right, so we did have some news today around the Cowboys quarterback situation and the contract of Dak Prescott. Not exactly the news that we anticipated, the way in which it's coming out in terms of the numbers on this. Field Yates, give him credit, great guy, put out there this 2 hours ago that the Cowboys converted a $5 million roster bonus due to Dak Prescott on Sunday into a signing bonus, creating $4 million in salary cap space in 2024. The move reduces Prescott's salary cap number to 55.455. So let's just, for argument's sake, we're going to say it reduced it from 60 to 55, just for the sake of easy numbers for the show. While two extra void years were added to the deal for cap purposes, void years now through 2028. This does not prevent the team and Prescott from further negotiating a long-term extension, but provides Dallas with immediate salary cap relief. What is very interesting about this is that they only opened up $4 million. That's not that's one to two players, if that.
It's a kicker.
If that. In addition, they added money to void years, which it basically means if he's not on the team past this year, they increase the dead cap hit, meaning the money he has counted against Dak Prescott playing for the Saints. But, I mean, that's kind of what they did. Now, obviously, the contract extension potentially can kind of go and negate some of this stuff, I believe. This is a terrible move if he's not there long term. I'm sorry, it is. Because I don't know that you're going to get a significant enough player with this extra cap room that you have, that this is a start. But if this is the finish, you have to anticipate him leaving after this season.
I think that Dak Prescott is very likely to stay as Cowboys quarterback for as long as they'll have him. Because that's a job that historically nobody has ever given up. That being said, this situation here shows the immense value of not having an adversarial business relationship between team and quarterback. Look at the Eagles, for example, the team with which they compete most closely in the division. I'm looking at their salary cap list right now for next year, and they're going to pay their top four players on offense, Lane Johnson, Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, and Jordan Mailata. So their right and left tackle, their starting quarterback, and their number one wide receiver. They're paying those four guys $52 million. Again, the Cowboys are paying Dak Prescott $55 million to play quarterback for them. So as we've talked about the Cowboys' reluctance to spend in free agency, that has not been a strategy. That has been by necessity. And it has been by necessity because Dak Prescott and the Cowboys have mangled this situation for years, and now they're paying the piper.
You know, you say that is not a position you give up, quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, right?
That's exactly right.
How many teams combined did George Mike and Wilt Chamberlain and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar play for after the Lakers?
None after the Lakers, right?
None. The center for the Lakers, a position you don't give up until someone decides to give it up, which would be Shaquille O'Neal, right? That he played for multiple teams, Miami, Phoenix, Boston, Cleveland, after that. My point in bringing up that reference is Dak Prescott is set up to be the first of his kind in this case to voluntarily want to walk away. If they don't give him a contract extension, I don't know that being the quarterback for the Cowboys is as attractive as you think it is versus getting more money, more years, and less attention for a team that could be as good or better. There is going to be whoever the Atlanta Falcons were this year, next year. There's going to be a team that you're going to say, you know what, if you're Dak Prescott, I may want to walk into that situation and play with those two guys at wide receiver and this offensive line. I may want to play in this division, which is a little bit less than the division I just recently played in. Or I want to play for that head coach. And now he happens to like Mike McCarthy. The point that I'm making is it's 2024. You could sit here and say, players don't leave the quarterback of the Cowboys, just like players didn't leave the center for the Lakers until they did. And I am not convinced that being the quarterback for this version of the Dallas Cowboys, with that ownership, the way in which the attention goes towards Dak Prescott, is as attractive as you're making it out to be.
You're making lots of football sense, but not much common sense. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why.
What an insulting thing to say. If it wasn't you, I'd want to literally go up and slap you. I wouldn't actually do that. But because it's you and I like you so much, that is so demeaning what you said. But please continue.
Here's what I mean
yeah.
about your smart football take, stupid common sense take.
Right.
Being the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys sets you up for life, and you know that just as well as I do.
As if he's not already?
Look at what Troy Aikman has become after his football career. Look at what Tony Romo is becoming. Look at what Roger Staubach became. These are people that have benefited enormously from being a legacy player for the Dallas Cowboys. It is not a job that anyone has ever given up. I don't believe that Dak Prescott needs to stay in Dallas to remain rich, to remain popular, to remain successful at quarterback. I do, however, believe that Dak Prescott is going to stay in Dallas if he possibly can because of all the other reasons.
What an outdated take, because I think within a year, the most highly paid media member that's an ex-athlete in football, non-Rock or Strahan related, will be a former center for the Philadelphia Eagles. So you could sit there. Tony Romo will not make as much money all in 2025 as Jason Kelce will. It's Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.